Today we'll be talking about Legend of Mana getting an anime series.
Castlevania Rondo of Blood finally gets an English release after 28 years.
And a new mini arcade system is coming to the home in Japan.
Welcome to episode 28 of the Retro Gaming Dads podcast, the weekly podcast for everything retro and retro-inspired. Today, I'm joined by Barry and Phil.
Hello.
Good evening. You alright, guys? Now, I know I've not been here for a couple of weeks because I've been, you know, out and about and doing bits and bobs. So what have I missed?
Well, you've missed about four episodes of the podcast.
Pretty much, start. Yeah. Slacking.
Yeah, so you missed the Sonic 30th anniversary special last week.
Which we enjoyed.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to that.
Which, as soon as we finished it, I realised we missed out so much.
Yeah, but it's so hard to cram everything into. I mean, it was even an hour-long episode as it was.
That's after editing it.
Exactly.
Well, it's 30 years. Like, seriously? Yeah. How could you all fit into one episode, really?
Well, we couldn't. We couldn't, to be fair.
We enjoyed it, though.
No, there was so much that we missed out. We didn't even touch on, like, the BioWare Sonic RPG that got released.
Which was news to me. It's just when you told me about it earlier today.
That was Sonic RPG?
Yeah, so Sonic turn-based RPG made by BioWare. Sonic and the Dark Brotherhood, I think it was called, on the DS.
didn't
even mention that after Sonic Adventure 2 got released, I went out and bought myself a pair of soap shoes so I could grind rails just like Sonic. And I bought the kind of tie-in trainers. I think they were called Soap Scorchers, if I remember right.
Yeah, I just always wondered how you never managed to break your neck on those things.
To be honest, I'm surprised I never did. I expected to at least come out with a broken ankle, and somehow I survived.
Somehow. It is amazing.
Yeah, I must have managed to always keep hold of one ring.
But I'm...
On top of that, also I've been doing literally all weekend is play Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, I
played through Mania. I played through Forces, and I started Adventure again.
See, I was away this weekend, so I only had the Switch on me, and I was playing through a bit of Sonic Mania. Actually doing Encore mode, which I've not done before.
That's why I completed it on.
Yeah, I've not done that before, so I was playing through that.
No, it's pretty good, actually, Encore mode, except when I lose Sonic, I'm like, no, Sonic, come back.
Every time I got Sonic, I was like, oh, damn it, I need to find a box to switch him out for someone like Tails, who's much more useless.
Much more useless, that's about right.
Much more useful.
That's about right.
Much
in all
more
fairness,
useful.
Every character in that game has their own unique ability. Like, if you just want to skip the entire mission, you just want to get right and just glide through the entire thing.
See, I feel like I've not really given Sonic that much of a proper playthrough myself, so I need to pick up at some point and play it.
Sonic in general or Sonic Mania?
Sonic Mania, at least. I've definitely played Sonic 1 and a bit of Sonic 2.
Oh, sweet. But in that case, you've practically played, like, none of the games.
Yeah.
Some of the later games.
We must have mentioned easy 30 Sonic games and then realised that we just miss loads of them out.
Well, I can guarantee I've played less than 10 of them.
Wow.
Again, if you go back and listen to the last podcast, I think we didn't manage to think of 10 of them released just on the Game Gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did good. You went to your general spot naming every sort of game that came on to certain consoles.
I can see the pain in Barry's face hearing that you've only played less than 10 Sonic games.
It's not that I'm angry, Anthony. It's just I'm disappointed in you.
I'm used to it. It's fine. But before we get stuck into a Sonic-shaped hole, obviously I was also away last weekend and I was sat playing on the Switch on Hyrule Warriors, getting that finished off, which, again, I'm really enjoying sort of working through that. That's all I've had time to play for. Otherwise, I have started Perfect Dark. I'm enjoying that so far.
I still need to start that. And I've got, what, a day or two left of the month to complete it?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every Thursday's game this night.
Might have to give her a good go tomorrow.
Just a bit. Well,
even though Anthony hasn't been here for most of the podcast episodes, or at least that's how it feels recently, this podcast, you know, we started it while we were stuck in lockdown. And we're not doing too bad at the moment. We're quickly approaching 1,000 listens. So we just want to say thank you to everyone who's, one, listening to it, and two, hopefully enjoying it. And we would like to ask for a little bit of help so that we can reach more people and help them sleep better at night by listening to our podcast.
What, by falling asleep listening to it?
Yes. Apparently, according to my brother, it's brilliant for that. If you could just take a couple of minutes and just leave a review for the podcast on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcasting app is, we would be extremely grateful. We'd love honest reviews. We're not asking for 5-star reviews, although if you think we deserve it, then definitely drop us 5 stars. We'd genuinely like to hear what you do and what you don't like about the podcast, just so that in the future we can maybe try and cut down on the bits that you don't like Anthony, and put bits that you do like back into the podcast.
Like Anthony?
Nah. We'll see what people say.
I come back and within five minutes I'm already getting insulted.
Hey, we let you off easy last week while you weren't here.
And just think, if you follow us as well, you can have more of this.
Yes. Every week, we guarantee we will bring you at least one podcast. I'm sure some of you have noticed over the last couple of weeks, while we've had a lot more going on with things like E3, Summer Game Fest, Sonic's 30th anniversary, we've been pushing out a few extra episodes. And some people would actually say they are worth the price you paid for them, which is nothing.
All we ask is your honest feedback.
Yes. So now that the groveling's over, should we actually get into some news?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, sounds right. Good. What's the first bit of news we have? I think we're over to you, Barry, for the first one.
Well, the first one is there is a brand new mini arcade coming to the home. So after last year with the Sega Astro Mini Arcade, we are now getting one from Taito, the Egret 2.
Taito are an absolute powerhouse, or at least they used to be a powerhouse of the arcade.
Yeah, maybe in the 80s, but definitely not so much now.
Well, yeah, but just think, there'd be so few clones of some of their games if it wasn't for them.
And by some of the games, I take it you're just on about Space Invaders.
Well, Puzzle Bobble.
Well, Puzzle Bobble isn't on this, unfortunately. We have got that Bubble Bobble, which was one of my favourite games on the Master System. Even if I only actually got it about 5 years ago, when Kerry actually purchased me a copy after me mentioning that as a child, I always wanted it and never managed to get it.
Well, I'm sure you had it. Or was that Rainbow Islands that you had?
No, I copied Rainbow Island off you for the Amiga.
Right, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Which is it's kind of sequel, but nothing like Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
It's quite a few good games on here, and I'll be honest, a lot of games I don't recognise. So, Rastan, that was another game on the Master System I loved.
New Zealand Story, I loved that game on the Amiga.
Yeah, until the later levels, in which case it was just a nightmare. Yeah.
Well, looking on this, I can safely say there's only one game I've heard of or played on this list. Space Invaders.
Yeah, I think this is probably a little bit before your time.
Does that not make you two feel old saying that?
No, we're not old. We're just more experienced.
We're kind of sores.
We've just leveled up more than you have. We're just starting to over-level now. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Trying to make yourself feel better, fine.
Yeah.
Sadly, this only coming out in Japan. Have we got release dates for it, prices for it yet?
So it's coming out 2022.
Yes, March 2nd.
2nd of March. Are you American Pretty now? Steep. March yes, the 2nd.
Second of March. Well, I thought it was the 2nd of March. I think you misheard me.
One of us definitely said March the 2nd, and I'm actually doubting who it was now, to be honest.
There is American among us.
Yeah, sus.
The way that I'm reading it on the website, it says March 2, 2022, so...
Right, yeah.
One of us said it.
So, 2nd of March, and I haven't got an exact price. Did you say it was about $190?
So, it says for the Egret 2 Mini by itself, is $194. But if you want the complete package, which is the mini arcade with all the controllers and everything else, you're looking at $629 around about.
I think for that price, you're starting to get to the point where I just want to build a full-sized arcade.
Yeah, surely a cabinet.
A main machine or something.
Yeah, a cabinet's not going to actually set you that much more, is it?
Not that I have them saved into my wish list on eBay, but you can actually get the cabinet in a DIY kit for about £200 and then just get like a 17-inch Dell monitor. You can pick them up for like £25 delivered on eBay, and a Raspberry Pi, and you're pretty much away at that point. Oh, sorry, and a controller. Controllers.
Yeah.
Something tells me you have looked at this quite a bit.
No. don't be silly.
The only reason he doesn't have it is he doesn't have anywhere to put it.
Yeah, that's that would be the reason if I was hypothetically looking at these on a regular basis.
Also, I don't think this is one he could easily sneak past carrying. It's like, what do you mean? It's always been there.
The stand up arcade, marquee flashing lights, sirens going off. It's always been in the corner.
I don't know how you've never noticed it, really.
Yeah. But no, this egret, it's pretty steep price, especially if you compare it to the Sega Astro Mini from last year.
Yeah.
Especially for the selection of games, which are more on the older side. But it does have some pretty cool features. The most noticeable one being the rotatable display. So if you're playing a vertical shooter, you can actually spin it around 90 degrees so that you've got the full height of the display rather than letterboxing up and down the sides.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I believe this is called Tate mode.
Interesting name.
Yeah. In all fairness, I would have probably called it tape mode had I not heard other people say it. Now, whether or not those other people are right, I don't know.
I think it would look weird sideways.
No, the screen pops out and rotates 90 degrees.
Oh, you don't rotate the whole... I thought you rotated the whole body, but you pop the screen out. Oh, that's cool. I didn't realise that. That's pretty cool.
It's a cool little idea.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a cool little idea. It's just a price that would put me off.
Yeah, well, the actual main unit for just under $200 is okay. It's expensive. It's quite expensive, but it's not. Well, let's put it this way: it's no Polymega, is it?
True.
Yeah.
The additional controller that you can get with the paddle and the trackball is pretty cool. Something you don't really see. And there were arcade games that you couldn't play without those inputs, and you don't see them on systems anymore. There's some classics. There's plenty of games on here that I don't recognize. So, obviously, Space Invaders. Everyone has heard of Space Invaders.
Oh, yeah.
And then on top of that...
Leave.
Yeah. Bubble Bobble. Oh, yeah, but before you leave us a review. But Bubble Bobble, Rastan Saga... You've also got Rainbow Islands, New Zealand Story. So you've got a couple of classics, and I'm sure some of the other games that I don't recognize are classics as well. But there's 15 titles on there. You can buy an SD card. That's a few more titles. I think this comes with the controller, with the paddle and the trackball as well.
Right.
So it's nice to see these sort of mini consoles as well being expandable with additional games, since most aren't.
Yeah, that'll be a nice added feature.
Yeah. But, again, unfortunately, it's a Japanese-only system. Maybe it will have some sort of release in North America or Europe, but probably wouldn't hold me breath for it.
Possibly not. Though, speaking of releases, we've got some more information coming on Aiden Chronicles.
Yeah, this is actually less about the game, though, and more about everyone's favorite rumor besides Microsoft buying Sega, that there's a new Nintendo Switch coming, because the developers have announced what system the game's going to release on. So they've said Xbox One, Xbox Series, X and S, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, PC, and next generation Nintendo hardware.
Okay.
And whatever could this mean?
Well, the new Nintendo Switch?
Potentially, it could mean that they have a dev unit for this system and they are making it. Or maybe they've just decided, do you know what? It's going to be too difficult on the current Switch. We'll just hold off till whatever Nintendo release next comes out.
Maybe.
So it could be something, it could be nothing. It's...
It seems strange that this is the game that's going to push the Switch to its limit and beyond.
See, it may not even be from a technical point of view. It may just be they want to perhaps release it physically and it'll cost too much on the cartridges, or yeah, it would be too physically too big. Because I think most Nintendo cartridges top out about 32 gig. I think you can get a couple of 64 gig games.
Well, yeah, maybe that is the reason.
If you think some new titles can be absolutely massive.
No, they really can. Isn't Call of Duty something like 120 gig?
Oh, and the rest.
Well, yeah.
That's it. There's a few games that I think are easily pushing over 120 gig.
Yeah, well, Master Chief Collection. I think I installed that on my Xbox and that's it. Can't play anything else now. It's full.
Yeah, dude, that tops out like 200 and something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the wording from the dev about the game is just interesting. The fact that he turned and said that it's for the next-gen Nintendo Switch. Why would he say that if he wasn't aware of the next Nintendo Switch?
Well, he never said the next Nintendo Switch. He said next-generation Nintendo hardware. So it's probably a safe assumption that the next console by Nintendo will be more powerful than the current Switch. He might just say, do you know what, we're going to skip the Switch. It's too difficult, too expensive, whatever the reason. And we'll just wait for Nintendo to release whatever comes next.
That or confirmed Microsoft buying Sega.
Yeah. Because don't forget, this game's coming out in 2023, was it?
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, 2023. True. So at that point, I think the Switch is 5 years old now. So it's going to be pushing on 7 years, which is what the PlayStation and the Xbox, PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One.
It'll be just in time for Nintendo to put us into the next generation.
Well, and then delete the old store.
Nintendo are a generation ahead, aren't they, at the minute?
Technically, yeah. The Switch is the same generation as the Series X, S, and PS5.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Nintendo Wii U, terrible name, is technically the console that was coinciding with the 1 and the 4.
Yeah, yeah. It might be something, it might be nothing. There was loads of rumours that Nintendo were going to announce this just before E3, and they said nothing.
It's getting to the point that they might have just bite the bullet, and if it is something that's there, the amount of rumours that's coming out, just release it. Just tell us what it is, or give tidbits.
Well, they don't want to announce it premature while the Switch is already doing phenomenally well. As quick as they can get it into shops in most places, it is selling out straight away.
You cannot deny just how popular the Switch is.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a perfect game for playing home and on the move. You know, me and Phil went away at the weekend, took our Switches with us and played them whilst we were away. Such an easy console to take with you.
Yeah, but it definitely does. I think it's hitting the point where it needs a bit more grunt behind it for modern games.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Nintendo definitely don't want to announce this too early. There's something called the Osborne effect, where there was a computer manufacturer that released this computer, but also announced that the next version was coming in a year or so down the line, which was going to be cheaper, faster, better in every way. So no one bought the original machine, even though there was a lot of hype and excitement around it. Everyone was like, well, I may as well just wait for the better version a year or so down the line. And it killed the company.
Oof.
Now, I'm not saying if they announce a Switch Pro, it's going to kill Nintendo, but it would probably put a massive dent into the sales of the Switch.
Definitely.
Because everyone would want to wait for the Pro.
Yeah, and let's face it, a lot of the people who are going to buy the Switch Pro will already have a Switch anyway.
Yeah.
So may as well get as much as they can out of the current Switch before announcing its successor. Whether it's like a midlife refresh or a completely new system.
At least we have a little bit of it to go
well,
off.
Well, yeah, but that's all we've got at the moment, haven't we? We've just got lots of little little bits of information here and there, but nothing substantial. I just hope if they do release a new Switch Pro or Switch 2 or wherever, it's backwards compatible.
And has Xbox Game Cloud service streaming on it.
No, we want that to come to the current one.
Well, we want that in all of them, yeah.
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 Which, speaking of which, Microsoft Xbox Game Cloud streaming, X Cloud, whatever it's called. Let's just call it X Cloud, because that's what everyone else calls it.
The streaming thing.
That's now available for everyone on iOS and Windows PC.
I know, it's finally available on Windows PC.
Yeah. Just in time for Windows 11.
Yay!
And not only that, they've actually finished upgrading the infrastructure, so it's no longer running on Xbox consoles. It seems to be running on Xbox Series consoles, although some people are saying it's Series X variants and some say it's Series S.
Either way,
it's you are nice. Still limited to 1080p, but there are a lot of games have options for higher resolutions.
Frame rate and the like.
Yes. My experience with this is the latency is just too high.
I think it's obviously depending on the game you're playing.
I tried Forza, so.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay. I wonder why that didn't work properly.
I know it can work.
But just not on Forza.
No. I've played Forza Horizon 4 on Shadow before they bummed up the price. And it worked fine. I could play that. Not an issue. Minimal latency. But xCloud, I don't think it's up to that standard yet.
Well, I was playing Undermine. I've tried it a few times. And the game runs very well. However, playing it on the phone, the controls are really awkward because obviously it's all on the touch screen and it's very, very awkward. So you'd have to use a controller if you had to play that.
I was actually playing on the phone, but with an Xbox controller.
Yeah, I think I'd probably, for the moment, stick with games like Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
Where latency is not going to screw you over and it's going to be easy enough to play with touch controls because it's menu-based.
My phone's not a 5G phone, so I'd be interested to see how it performs over 5G, because one of its big selling points over 4G and LTE was reduced latency.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a data issue, like how fast the download speed is. The picture quality looked fine. It was just the latency was too high.
Yeah. Well, I did notice when I was playing with game streaming, it does recommend either 5G or a wireless internet connection.
Yeah, 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi recommends.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
I get that. Oddly enough, though, when I do game streaming from my Xbox, it works a lot better than from Microsoft servers, so maybe they just haven't got any servers close by.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the issue, maybe the actual physical distance.
Maybe.
But if anyone wants to actually try this, you do need a Game Pass Ultimate subscription.
Yeah, it
has to be the Ultimate subscription. And you can go to xbox.com/play. Now, this is working with Safari, Edge, and Chrome. They have specified that it's Windows 10. So I'm not sure if it'll work on Chromebooks through Chrome or Macs through Safari. I actually meant to try that earlier on.
It'd be a nice test.
Yeah, I might give it a go after.
Now, obviously, following along, talking about Xbox is linked to Bethesda. We've got some sad news, haven't we? From my Bethesda game. The dog who played Dog Meat from Fallout 4 has passed away.
Bit sad, but the dog that actually done a lot of the acting, I can't think of a better word for that.
Motion capture.
That was it.
Motion capture, yeah. And I believe they actually scanned the dog into the game. And it was your companion during Fallout 4. And as everyone knows, a game story gets a lot better if you've got a dog companion with you. The actual dog's name was River. And it unfortunately passed away recently.
Yeah. When you said this to me, I was actually a little bit saddened. It was a great game. And having a dog companion with you did make it that much better.
It certainly did. But, unfortunately, the way the world goes.
To be fair, though, I mean, Fallout 4, that came out, what, 4 years ago now?
A little while ago, yeah. When I was younger, I had an Alsatian, and unfortunately, I think she passed away at about 10, 11 years.
In later news, Metroid Dread's doing well.
Yeah, that's the most pre-ordered game that was announced at E3.
Isn't that because people have been waiting 15 years for it, so they're all like, finally!
Well, for that particular title, yeah, there have been other Metroid games in between them. But it was originally announced in around about 15 years ago, give or take a bit. One thing I was surprised by, though, is Metroid games don't sell well.
Right.
Like, the best-selling Metroid game sold 3 million copies.
Really?
So what's prompted this one to do so well?
Well, we don't know how well it'll do, but it's got the potential to be the best-selling Metroid game. I think a mixture of people being excited for it, not having a title in a while, plus the upcoming Metroid Prime 4, you know, something to tide people over till that.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the Switch has the ability to make most games sell really well.
That's true.
I'm not being funny. I've seen some dire games that have done 500,000, 1,000,000, 2 million copies sold. So if Metroid can't do it, then I'm sorry. I think Samus needs to be permanently just a Smash Brothers character.
Retired to Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Is he a decent Smash Brothers character, if I'm honest?
Just very quickly as well, they shown off Kazuya out of Smash Brothers, some of his moves in there, and they've announced that the next Smash Brothers character will be the last character. There will be no more character packs or no more characters released after this.
Come on, Master Chief.
I was just about to ask, what character do you think or hope it might be?
I think it is going to be a Microsoft tie-in of some sort, and we can be hopeful it is a Spartan.
See, I think people will still be disappointed, even if it was a Spartan or Master Chief.
You reckon?
I think so, yeah. I think the pressure on this final character now is immense. I don't think they could announce anyone and it not be slated.
Because of the lineup they've had so far.
Yeah, what character could you think that they could say is the final character ever for Smash Brothers Ultimate? And bear in mind, they've also said there'll never be another Smash Brothers game that's got all of these characters in. So far, they've pulled from Nintendo, Sega, Konami, Capcom, Namco.
Knuckles.
Square.
Well, Knuckles.
No, it's not going to be Knuckles. Knuckles is already in the game anyway as an assist trophy.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I reckon if they manage to somehow pull a Sony character in there.
I don't even think if they got... What Sony character? I could only think of like Ratchet and Kratos.
Ratchet and Clank or Kratos, yeah.
I don't think Kratos would be that well received. Maybe Ratchet. I think there's probably a good chance for Crash, even though he's not a PlayStation character. I still think there's a chance for him to be in it.
Yeah, it could be Crash. It's not going to be Spyro.
You and Spyro. If possibly, I suppose it could be Spyro, maybe. I hope not.
I think
Spyro would be a massive letdown as the final character.
It would be completely misplaced.
Yeah. No. What? Misplaced? You've got Pokemon and a giant piranha planting a pot that bounces around.
Misplaced isn't the right word. Yeah. I don't think Spyro's big enough to be the last Smash character.
I think if he was one of the earlier characters in the pack or in the previous pack, then fair enough, but not as the final character.
No. This is where they just scan in and weify the head of Nintendo.
Well, there was actually a joke that the final character will be the producer. So they were saying like that the final character will be Sakurai himself. He'll send down, have every character's moveset available to him, and just, you know, be god tier in the game. Now, I actually think that would be a good way to end it.
Yeah. Do you think he could beat Bayonetta, though?
Well, Well, yeah, if he's got Bayonetta's moveset. Yeah. I reckon that would be a nice way to finish the series.
Yeah.
I think it would be. And talk about having every single moveset. If you think about Tekken, Tekken's got a character where every round you start, it changes which character's moveset it has.
Not every game. Most games have that. You've got, did Cervantes have it in Soul Calibur? I know the Edgemaster did.
Edgemaster did. I don't think Cervantes did. Cervantes
did. Inferno, sorry, that's what it was thinking. There's Geral out of Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
The Tekken, is that the wooden training dummy on about?
Yeah, it's a wooden training dummy.
Yeah, so there's plenty of games that have a character like that, so...
Exactly. So when you said that, that does make sense.
Unless they meant all of the moves in one go.
Didn't you just remember all those sets of the moves?
Yeah.
It's a pick.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see, but he said, do not expect to hear anything for a long time about this last character.
Okay.
So... Which possibly means Nintendo are like, oh God, we haven't even thought who's this last character's going to be.
I can believe that as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Or they chose someone and thought, the pressure's too high. Not this one. Not good enough. Switch quick.
Yeah.
Speaking of Smash Brothers characters, we've got Richter coming out in Castlevania Rondo of Blood, finally getting an English release.
Yeah, after nearly 3 decades, what's it been, 28 years?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, and surprisingly, this is getting a physical release as a Turbo Duo. I assume, is it coming on a Hue card, is it?
I presume so.
Turbo Duo, it's not really a system that I know an awful lot about, to be honest. I did get the Turbo Graphics Mini, which has actually got this game on it, but I haven't even played it yet. The Turbo Graphics and the PC Engine, it was never really a thing over here, was it?
No, it really wasn't. But it's interesting that there's finally going to be an official English release of this game.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this game.
Well, it was the precursor to Symphony of the Night.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. So remember a Symphony of the Night when you start the game and you're playing the guy in blue killing Dracula?
Yes.
That's the end of this game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You literally play the end boss of Rondo of Blood.
Yeah.
But it never got released over here. I think they did like a couple of spin-off versions of it, like they did Dracula X, I want to say.
I think there's one on the on the PSP, isn't there? A remake of it, like a 2.5D one, is it?
Yeah, so there's a remake of it, and they also did a SNES version of it, I think it was.
Yes, but it was a different game, weren't it?
Yeah, ultimately it was a different game.
Yeah.
So, although obviously Japan got the PC Engine TurboGrafx game, we never got an English release of it.
Yeah, well, we personally over in UK, I don't even think we got the system. I genuinely do not remember ever seeing anything about this system except in, was it EGM magazine, the US games magazine that you could get from certain news agents?
Oh, I think so.
I think it was something like EGM or something. It wasn't a UK publication, I don't think. And you'd look at it and you go, oh, what's a PC Engine? A Turbo Graphics. I've never heard of this. Who's Bonk? sounds rather inappropriate. But oddly enough, as well as this getting a physical release, Analog has announced they will be bringing out a new console that can play Turbo Graphics, PC Engine, CD, Hue cartridges. So maybe it's a nice pairing, you know?
Yeah.
I assume both of them are going to be pretty expensive. And Analog is never cheap, but from what I understand, they're worth the money. And Limited Run are releasing a physical version of Rondo of Blood. I'm sure they'll do some bumper pack that you can get that'll set you back quite a bit of money. Speaking of which, if anyone from Limited Run happened to be listening to this, where's my Scott Pilgrim? I am still waiting on that from January.
January? One day. I still can't believe you've not got it yet. Is there any update with it at all?
The last update I got was probably about 4 to 6 weeks ago, where they said most of it's done, but I think they were waiting for the cases to be produced or something.
Surely this should be all done ready beforehand.
You would have thought so.
See, I'm struggling with this one myself at the moment for the simple fact that stock's not getting anywhere because all the shipping lanes are just crammed crazy busy and there's backlogs all over the show.
Well, we can't blame it on the Evergreen anymore, can we?
No, that didn't help, though.
No. Well, talking about another classic game, we're getting Legend of Mana Remake coming soon, which was a PS1 classic. And Square have now announced that they're also going to be doing an anime series?
Information's light, and what I have seen is in Japanese. So I'm not sure, but it looks like a series, and they're working in conjunction with Warner Brothers Japan.
Yeah, so I believe that the studio's doing it, and I'm going to mess this up completely, is Graphicinica?
Something, yeah, maybe. Better than I would have done.
And Yokohama Animation Lab. Now, these are the ones who redone the intro for the re-release of Legend of Mana.
Which is a very nice intro.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks sharp. It seems rather light on the actual animation, but then again, that's an anime trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, how long can we show one single frame for and just put some speed lines in the background to make it look like we're actually animating something?
Dragon Ball Z, you can get away with at least 3 episodes.
Well, I not long ago, I watched the second series of One Punch Man, and I was like, nothing's actually moving in this anime. It's just speed lines everywhere.
Before we get too sidetracked, that got slated for that because the first series is beautifully animated.
I can't say I remember the first series being well animated.
Oh, we watch it. It is beautifully animated.
Well, I enjoyed it. Or another actual kind of anime that done it was Invincible. That was very limited on the animation, but I think they rationed out the animation pretty well in there.
That's one I need to watch that because apparently it's very good.
Have you not watched it?
I've not watched it.
Oh.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Well, getting back on topic, you know, it's only occasionally that we ever get off topic, but a rather odd one, this. Internet archivists have found a long lost version of Minecraft.
I know. When I spotted this one, I was like, what?
Yeah. Now, you might be listening to this and think, whoa, is this the one with that original character in it that looked like a frog girl or, you know, some super special version? Not really. It's just a version that was up for, what was it, like 3.5 hours? And then...
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, it was up for 3.5 hours and then it was updated again. So it was Alpha 1.1.1 and this woman called Luna literally had it in a backup file and internet archivists have contacted her following this tweet of her getting this update to see if she still had a copy of it, and lo and behold, she did.
Yeah.
So they were dead happy.
So in terms of Minecraft, it's nothing too interesting. But in terms of the importance of having backups and archiving software, I do think this shines a spotlight on it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because looking back at software that's been released, like Minecraft, looking back through the revisions in its history, it shows the direction they were going, where they changed, what they added. And I do think it's extremely important to let archivists archive software, regardless of whether it's abandonware or it's current. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think they should then allow it to be downloaded. You know, they shouldn't archive the next version of Call of Duty and then let anyone download it or anything like that. But I do think they should be allowed to archive it.
Absolutely.
So in the future, people can go back and look at different versions. Like, look at the World of Warcraft Classic, is it called?
Yeah.
People wanted to go back to the original World of Warcraft.
Yeah. It's this age-old argument as well, isn't it, of it's preserving our history. Yes, okay, it's digital history. It's perhaps not world-breaking important history, ultimately. Yeah. But it is still history. It is the history of gaming. It's a history of software.
Yeah. I find it a bit weird that a library can archive all these old books and manuscripts and that. That's fine. That's a noble endeavor. But you want to archive our software? Oh, no, that's piracy. It seems like a massive double standard to make. And
it is.
As we go on into the future, more and more of this software is being lost.
Yeah. And following on from that, EA removing Ultima Underworld and Syndicate from Good Old Games, it's the same thing.
Well, yeah, again, software gets taken down. Now, they've not actually announced why they're removing the software, have they?
No, no, just as of June 28th, they were removed from the storefront. Now, the speculation that they could be uploading it into Origin as an Origin exclusive, or perhaps having remasters available, who knows? But again, it's effectively removing the history of gaming.
Yeah, see, yeah, I can understand if they want to make it an Origin exclusive title.
Yeah.
I really hope they don't make a remaster of them, to be honest.
No, it seems like, I mean, Syndicate, okay, Syndicate and Syndicate Wars, maybe.
No. Syndicate is great the way it is.
Oh, I agree with you.
It's not a great game. It's a good game, but it's very flawed, but I wouldn't want them to remake it.
Yeah, me either, really.
Mm.
But yeah, it just highlights this point of how important preservation can be.
In all fairness, I don't see why there isn't at least each different company having an archive by themselves. Why don't they have an archive put away somewhere where they do back up their old files and do back up the original IPs? Why is it that it has to come out from all of a sudden, oh, this person had the original Doom IP on this disc that was lost so many years ago, and that's all of a sudden come back to us now?
Because they're not specialists in it.
Well, not only that, I think there's a lot of times, like, I can guarantee Nintendo have games and tech demos and alphas and stuff like that that we'll never ever see that they've saved, but they will never release them. I also, just generally for archiving, I wouldn't want each company individually archiving their own stuff. What happens if, I don't know, a small indie developer, say, is archiving their own stuff, nowhere else is archiving it, and they suffer a fire or a flood or a data breach, and then that data's gone?
Yeah. I mean, perhaps not the most relevant case in point, but there was Magic Knight Ray Earth on the Sega Saturn.
Exactly. Part of that game had to be rebuilt for the American re-release.
Yeah, because they lost portions of the data.
Yeah. And I can't remember. It actually tells you about that in the manual, didn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
And I can't remember whether they actually had like a just data loss, or they formatted the drive to then use it for something else.
But there's been a few games where that's happened as well, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. An odd one was the original Diablo. They lost the source code for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think they found it. It was on almost every PlayStation release of the game. It just had the source code just lying around there. No one had, well, thought to one, take it off the disc originally, or two, to look for it though.
Well, yeah.
I think that's what I was referring to. When I said Doom, I think it was that I was referring to.
Well, no,
I knew there was something that had it on the disc.
Same with most games. Like, occasionally you get like a new Sonic beta or alpha or some sort of promotional copy of the game that gets released online. I do think all of these should be archived. Now, I'm not saying that they should be archived and we should be able to go and download all these games and play them in emulators and that, but they should be archived still.
I 100% agree.
And perhaps if certain companies say, I don't know, say there was a defunct company that had a game that's been archived, but the new holder of the IP, perhaps you could allow people to play it in a browser for a fee, and we get a little bit of that fee.
Well, the Internet Archive actually do have software that you can run on the archive.
Well, yeah. When I was messing around with that, the original Xbox, and unfortunately the laser, I think, starting to go in it, I actually went onto the Internet Archive, and you can just download Xbox ISOs. I just downloaded Phantom Crash and installed it to the hard drive just in case when you guys come around and we wanted to play it, it failed to load from the disc. I had a backup of it on the hard drive to play from.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly certain, I'm not condoning piracy at all, but I'm pretty certain they've got the full catalogue or near enough the full catalogue of Xbox games on the...
I can believe it. There is a lot of stuff on the Internet Archive. Well, understandably so, it is an archive of the Internet.
The amount of times I've gone back to like a really old website to find a particular file. I've actually gone back and looked at previous versions of my website that I've made as a kid to look for certain files that had been lost to time. I'm like, oh my God, they actually archive that file.
Yeah, the Wayback Machine, that's another good archive.
Yeah, I hammer the Wayback Machine. I was going to say, you can use it to go look at the original Space Jam website, but you can do that without it.
You don't need it. Hey, is the new Space Jam movie going to use the original Space Jam website?
I hope not.
Or at least do it in the style of the original.
They should have a tab at the top. They should have like day mode, night mode, and 90s mode.
So all of the kids of today can understand our pain.
Yeah, how bad the internet was in the 90s.
Scrolling images.
Oh, I know. Black background with red text with scrolling purple text along the top and
sparkles.
A couple of GIFs, and it automatically plays a really low quality WAV file as soon as you load the page.
I don't mean you guys, but it often mess with my eyesight. Seeing them going across, you're looking and going, hang on, my eyes hurting now. Let's look away for a minute.
Yeah. I remember at college, we only done it for like one term, but about website design, and pretty much they should have just shown us all these GeoCities websites that were online at the time and gone, see these? Don't do that.
Do not do any of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Then again, this was also the same time when the most popular website on the internet was the Hamster Dance website.
And that song is now in my head. Thank you.
I don't know this song, so it's fine.
Right, I'll send you it after this because the actual original website's not there. I'll have to go on the Wayback Machine to actually find the original one.
I was going to say, it is on the Wayback Machine.
Oh, I know it's on the Wayback Machine. I've gone to it.
Why did I say this?
Right. Well, now that we've completely derailed ourselves, is there anything either you two want to add?
Only that I think our exit music has to be the Hamster Dance tune.
And it's probably copyrighted, isn't it, from Peter Pan or something?
That and they did a song.
Yeah, I actually had that. Something verse Intelligentsia, I think it was. I can't actually remember.
I can't remember either. It was around the same time as the Crazy Frog with the actual song.
Yeah, it was the worst £2.99.
Now that's in my head.
Right. Well, before Anthony starts singing again, thanks for listening. And
do the inspirational quote.
Do you want me to do the last inspirational quote?
Yes.
Right. Earn me a second, so I'll see what the one on Sonic CD was. Okay, so I've found another quote for you, this time from the Japanese version of Sonic CD. Now, the bad news is I actually think this is the last inspirational quote we'll have from Sonic games.
Oh.
No.
So before you listen to this, sit down and try not to get too emotional. To live a life of power, you must have faith that what you believe in is right. Even if others tell you you're wrong, the first thing you must do to live a life of power is to find courage. You must be ready to reach beyond the boundaries of time itself. And to do that, all you need is the will to take that first step. In all fairness, Ashley, that's probably the first one that's made any sort of sense.
That was a pretty decent one.
At least this time, the sun isn't laughing at you or whatever was going on in the last one.
Yeah, that was a... Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay, and with that, I think that's a wrap for this episode, and we'll see you next week. And don't forget, reviews. We would like reviews, please.
Well, that's it for this episode. If you'd like to see more information on anything mentioned during this podcast, you can visit us at retrogamerdads.co.uk. You can also support the podcast and get ad-free episodes at patreon.com/retrogamerdads. We've been the Retro Gaming Dads, and we'll see you next week.